Let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessing as we consider the beginning of a series. We're going to be working our way through, Lord willing, we're going to be working our way through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. In a sense, kind of a follow-up of our studies through the book of Acts. We're actually going to be reading of the people, his letter to those who he couldn't be with. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you and we thank you, Lord, for granting unto us the ability to read somebody else's mail, to read these letters which were written so long ago. But yet they are our letters too. They're letters to us as well as your covenant people throughout the generations, throughout the millennium. We thank you, O Lord, that you have granted unto us the ability to hear and receive and the work of your Spirit who wrote these things through the Apostle Paul, that we have the author even now dwelling with us and guiding and direct. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you guide and direct this preacher and also that you would guide and direct us to be able to receive what you intended the saints there in Thessalonica to receive and you intend for us to receive today, that we may understand a little better what it is that it means to be your child, your redeemed of the Lord, a saint, a holy one. We pray that you would bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever attempted to greet someone only to have them ignore you? Ever had that happen? Where somebody snubbed you? For whatever reason, they just totally ignored your existence. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've never experienced that. I have. For whatever reason. How do you feel when someone does that to you? And maybe, what did I do to you to cause you to do that? Or one of the temptations is we begin to judge that person, right? What's wrong with you? How about this? Have you ever ignored the greeting of someone else? Why? Going on in your heart? What was going on in your mind at the time? Well, I've mentioned this before. Have you ever thought about why we shake hands in this culture? Why is it that we put out our right hand and we shake hands? Have you ever studied that? Ever thought about that? Well, in many ways, it's a sign of peace. Nowadays, we say peace like this. Really, peace is this. Why? Because if I'm extending my hand to you like this, I can't draw my sword and kill you. I'm vulnerable. If you draw your sword, you're going to get me before I get to mine. So it was a sign of trust and a sign of peace when you extended your right hand to your adversary and shook hands. It was a sign of peace. Okay. So Scripture talks about us greeting one another with the holy kiss. In a sense, we could say the holy handshake. Peace I give to you. Why do we shake hands? It is a sign of peace and goodwill. Greetings are important, and what we're looking at this morning in particular will focus our attention on just verse 1. I know that's surprising to you because we usually are covering chapters in the past. Well, we're going to today focus on verse 1, but part of the focus we'll be going back to Acts chapter 17 and reminding ourselves of who these people are and Paul's relationship with them. So in the bulletin, you have an outline, and in the outline it says, there is more to a greeting than we usually take into account. Through it, there is an acknowledgement of each person's existence and importance. It opens the door for communication and relationship. How much more blessed is God's greeting to us, his beloved people? How can we bless others as we have been by God? So, in a sense, that's the message today. We're looking at the blessings, the greetings, as we, in a sense, greet the new year and as we greet a new series of studies. Again, as we are reminded, if you remember, if you could remember the summary of the book of Acts, normally in our Bible it says the Acts of the Apostles, and that is true, it is the Acts of the Apostles, but really, remember what we were reminded, The book of Acts is the acts of Jesus Christ, or the continuing acts of Jesus Christ through his authorized representatives, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Does that include you? The answer is yes. So we are the continuing book of Acts. Okay, the continuing work of Jesus Christ through our lives. And so we were learning about Jesus, and we're learning how Jesus continues to do and to teach throughout the book of Acts. And in particular, I want you to take a moment and think about Acts 17. Paul and Silas and Timothy were kicked out of Philippi. Remember, Paul and Silas were arrested, and the Lord delivered them with the earthquake and all. Are we coming up to speed on that? Remember that? And so ultimately they end up getting kicked out. The city officials, Paul said, well, you broke the law. We are Romans and you beat us against the law. And so if you want us to leave, you're going to have to escort us out. You are personally going to have to acknowledge that you blew it. And they did. But they left anyway. So they traveled from Philippi there in Macedonia. And in chapter 17, they passed through some of the cities and they came to the city of Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, unlike Philippi. Remember, there was no synagogue in Philippi, but here there is one. So Paul, which was his custom, as I'm reading from Acts chapter 17, went into the synagogue. Great opportunity. What's going on in the synagogue? Well, they open their Bible and they read the Bible, and then they look for an explanation of what they read. And usually what they do is, if they have a gifted rabbi or theologian, they will invite that individual to stand up and teach. And guess what? Paul is there, and Paul is probably the greatest rabbi, the greatest teacher, the greatest theologian of the day. Great opportunity. And for three Sabbaths, it says he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Messiah. Can you imagine what that was like? What it had been like to actually sit through Paul's preaching, opening up the Old Testament and showing, there's Jesus. There's Jesus. There's Jesus. There's Jesus. Brother in Christ, you might have met him, maybe not, Reverend Dennis Rowe. Reverend Rowe went to Nepal, and while he was there, he was shocked to find out, as he was teaching, he started teaching about Jesus from the Old Testament, and the people there were saying, we've never heard this before. These are professing Christians. These are pastors. They've never heard about the sacrifices pointing to Christ. They didn't understand that that David and Abraham and Moses and Samuel are all types of Christ. They didn't know, on and on and on. It was shocking to him. He was dumbfounded. And so were we when we heard it. And so it was, these people there in the synagogue did not know, in a sense, that the fulfillment of the promises had come. Jesus died and rose again according to the scriptures. So what's the response in verse 4? And some of them were persuaded, a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. The church was established right there in Thessalonica in 3 weeks. Amazing, isn't that cool? And not only were there Jews, but it said the Gentiles, right? The God-fearers, the people that said, well, I want to know more about the Lord. I want to know more about the Bible, but I don't want to become a Jew. I don't want to be circumcised. They're there in the synagogue, and guess what? They come to faith in Christ as well. So Jew and Gentile, they're together in the church, the newly church that's established there. Verse 5, but the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, that is Paul and Silas, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come to us." I like what someone once said. No. They didn't turn the world upside down. They turned the world right side up. And Jason has harbored them, and these are all teaching or acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, a one Jesus. Okay. So what is the charge that they were railing against Paul and Silas and Jason here? It was a political. They, in a sense, understood that Jesus is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, that Caesar is under Jesus. And will give an account to Jesus. Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. They understood that truth. They understood what Jesus said. They rejected it. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security of Jason and the rest, they let him go. Then the brethren there in Thessalonica immediately sent Paul and Silas away at night or by night to Berea. So, these are the people that are receiving this letter from Paul. Paul was run out of town. His time there was probably no more than maybe a month to 2 months. Okay. His time was short there, and then he was run out of town, and what seems to be one of the leaders of the newly formed church of the time, Jason, ends up getting attacked and by this mob, and also he is now living in Thessalonica with this threat. So that is the people who are the recipients who Paul is writing to. Paul and Silas and Timothy, to the called out ones, the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These are new converts, new believers, less than a few months old in their faith. They heard the gospel and they believed what Paul preached. We would call them a mission work. And the missionary was run out of town. And so now what do? Here you have a bunch of new believers and no pastor. What do you do? What does Paul do? Here, Paul was run out of town and there's so much work to be done, but I can't do it. What do I do? Well, what does he do? He writes this letter. He writes another letter. He corresponds with them and he communicates. He ministers to them as best he could, which is through letters. Praise God, as we said before. Isn't it wonderful that in the midst of this very bad situation, here's this new small flock of believers without any leadership or teaching. The situation looks really bad, but through it, the Lord produced, through Paul, letters that not only ministered to this flock, but now minister to us. Have ministered for 2,000 years to believers of all ages. The thought there is, sometimes we look at things where we're dealing with right now and they look really bleak. But yet God is working even those bleak things for something greater. We just don't have the eyes to see many times. And so again, as we look at verse 1, Paul refers to them not as a mission work per se, but as the church at the Thessalonica. Paul is probably at this point in time in Corinth and is writing to minister to the church, the called out from the world, the called together in Christ. That's what the word church means. So we are Grace Reformed Church. What do we mean by church? We are called out from the world. You are distinguished from the world, if you are part of the church. You are a stranger to the world. You are an alien. You are a new creature in Christ in heaven. Paul says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. We are called out from the world. We are no longer part, in one sense, we are no longer part of the kingdom of darkness. It's not our place anymore. We're saints. We're called out. We're holy ones in Christ. That's our identity. We belong to the body of Christ, the church. This is not insignificant. This is who we are. If someone asks you, who are you? What do you say to them? How do you answer that question? Kids, how do you answer that question? Who are you? I hope you say, I am a child of God. But a child of God means that God is your father and you belong to him and he claims you as his own child. And not only that, he says, no one's going to mess with my child. You are the apple of his eye, and I'm sorry, you can't poke the eye of God and get away with it. Right? Isn't that great to know that? That no matter what happens to you in this life, God will turn it to my good. Even though at times, God is the one that brings that challenge, that testing to your faith. He's turning it to our good because he loves us. Second point in the bulletin. Where does the church belong? You probably heard this said before. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We are distinguished. We are unique. We are holiness unto the Lord. Do you understand that? That you are holy. You are set apart. You have been given the Holy Spirit who is working holiness. He's changing you from glory to glory into the image of the holy Jesus Christ. That's why sometimes it is really painful. Because there's still sin in our members and the Holy Spirit is that surgeon. Just like with my cancer here, when I was talking to the doctor, she said, you know, one of the great things about being what I'm doing is I get to cure cancer. What do you mean by that? Well, when you enter the room, you had cancer. When you leave the room, you don't have cancer anymore. You're cancer free. I cured cancer. Well, in that sense, the Holy Spirit is the one who cures sin in your members. He's the one that's making us more like Jesus. We're holy. Paul goes on to say, the church of the Thessalonians in, notice that, verse 1, in God the Father, and in a sense you could say, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, in summary form, Paul and Silas and Timothy are saying, you are chosen by God from all eternity. Ephesians chapter 1. God has created you with a purpose. Your identity is in God, is with God. You are children of God. You are his sons and daughters who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, he's the sovereign, he's the head. He's your sovereign ruler, is he? You wake up in the morning and do you seek him and say, okay, Lord, give me my marching orders. Part of devotions is, Lord, what would you have me do today? I remember, and I've shared this before, I remember as a small child, I was reminded, actually, it was brought to my remembrance, that when I was growing up as a little kid, I would get up in the morning and I would say, thank you, Jesus, for another day. What are we going to learn? But what do I say now when I wake up in the morning? Okay, thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day. What do you want me to do? And part of that is, what do you want me to learn? And he teaches us sometimes the hard stuff, right? Notice that. In the Lord Jesus Christ, again, Jesus means Savior, according to Matthew chapter 1. He shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. and Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, the Prophet, the Priest, and the King that was promised. He is our everything. Is He? Is Jesus your everything? Is He the Christ for you? Is He your King? Is He the one who teaches you, the Prophet? Is He your Priest, the one who not only sacrificed Himself, but intercedes for you? This is who Paul writes. He's writing to those struggling believers in Thessalonica who are identified with God as Father, their Father. And they identified with the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Again, Jew and Gentile, especially the Jews, would cherish and understand that. Paul writes in Ephesians, He has made us accepted in the Beloved by grace. And here again, he is writing to the church who have been accepted in the Beloved by grace. And so here he says, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is that greeting. And that is my third point. What are the results of God's grace to you? Number one, we are saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8. I like what one devotion recently we were reading. What it said was, grace is the fountain or the spring of ministry. I love that statement as I've thought about it more and more. The reason why we do what we do is because of grace. On Wednesday nights, we're going through the book on transforming grace, and there it talks about we're not only saved by grace, but we are sanctified by grace, or we live by grace, we grow by grace, and we are glorified by grace, right? The temptation that we have is in the middle where we try to work acceptance, we try to gain acceptance with God by works, rather than trusting in the grace of God. So grace is the fountain or spring. Or like I wrote in one place, grace is the root. And in a sense, grace is the fruit, isn't it? We're saved by grace. We're maintained by grace. The work of the Holy Spirit. Again, I've asked before, how often do you talk to the Holy Spirit? He's there with you. He's taking care of you. He's putting up with you. Right? He's patient with you. He's working like that surgeon who's working on removing things. Do you actually say to him, good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for another day. Please forgive me for the times that I've grieved you. Help me not to grieve you today, to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We are maintained by grace, and the fruits of grace include peace. Again, the greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God, peace with one another. In many ways, you could say it's the realization of the kingdom of Christ is peace. Mankind is at war with God. We live in a battle zone. We wrestle against principalities and powers, don't we? We are shot with arrows. When was the last time you got a fiery dart from the devil? Probably sometime in the past 24 hours. But you didn't know it. Doubt. Anger. Different temptations, right? Paul says to stand and to use the shield of faith, whereby we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. We're at war. But the kingdom of Christ conquers all. In other words, we are both the recipients and the conduits of grace and peace. And so, again, my encouragement to you, do you receive grace? Do you go to the well and draw life from the well of life? Do you read your Bible? not because that's what I'm supposed to do because I'm a Christian, but it's because where else am I going to go to get living water but Jesus, who's revealed himself and his grace through his word? How are you to conduct your life if you don't talk to your Lord? Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do today? You don't ask that question, so then what do? You're doing whatever you're doing without any relationship to God. That's not a great servant, is it? If I'm the master, you're the servant, then you ask me what you want me to do. Well, Jesus is our master and Lord. Do we actually take time and say, Lord, hello, I love you. What do you want me to do? How can I glorify you? How can I please you? The interesting thing about that is that as we do that, what happens is that others become recipients of grace. The grace that comes into our lives also impacts them. As one writer said, if I don't do my devotions one day, I know it. If I don't do devotions 2 days, my wife knows it. And if I don't do devotions for 3 days or more, everybody else knows it. Are we receiving and spending time in the grace of God? And secondly, are we desirous to be those that impart the greeting, if you will, grace and peace, just as Paul and Silas and Timothy? Are we instruments through which others are receiving the grace and peace from God? So in summary, the simple truth is ministry begins with greeting, but it doesn't end there. But it does. Just to stop and think about it. If you want to minister to someone, you have to have some kind of connection with them, right? You have to greet them. You have to get to know them. There has to be some kind of connection. You can't just tell someone, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Well, why do I need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, because you're a sinner. Well, why? How do you know I'm a sinner? Where does that come from? Okay, let me tell you. Ministry begins by greeting, but doesn't end there. And neither does the letter. So we'll be looking more at the ministry of the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy, the Holy Spirit teaching us through the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Lord willing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for your great greeting to us, which is a declaration of our relationship with you, that we are not our own. We're bought with a price. Enable us to glorify you who art in heaven. We thank you that you have granted unto us the privilege to cry, Abba, Father, to be able to embrace and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your abiding presence with us. Thank you for your patience with us. Do that work that you desire to make us more like Jesus today. We pray that you would bless us again, that we may be a blessing and the world may know that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.